thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. Welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade, if you haven't tuned in before, and I'm glad you're tuned in. I hope everybody's having a pretty good week so far. It got really cold out there. I had to work out in it all day yesterday, and I was happy it warmed up a little bit today. But thank you all again for being here. Let me open this up in a word of prayer, and we'll just dive right in. Father, I just thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart this week. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the boldness to preach it. And Lord, I just pray that everything it said is coming from you, Lord. I pray that none of my opinions or my ideas are shared, but only what comes through your Holy Spirit and your word. And Lord, we just pray for all those that are sick right now. There's many people, Lord, that are sick. And some of them have COVID. Some of them have other things. I just pray that you'd comfort them, Lord, right where they are. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us tonight. And it's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to kind of go over what we preached on last week, because it really goes along with what God laid on my heart this week. So if you were here last week, we talked about how many of us come to God and confess our sins when we feel guilty about them, or we get convicted over something that we've done, or if we realize, you know, that we're living a lifestyle that we shouldn't be living. And in that moment, you know, when we do confess those things, or when we go to the altar with them or whatever, we truly do die to ourselves and humble ourselves before God. And we are truly sorry for what we've done. But what we talked about last week, for many of us, including myself, you know, I did this for a long time. That's as far as we get. You know, nothing changes in our hearts. We never go that last step and allow our old man to die and to be buried with Christ, so that we can be resurrected by the Holy Spirit to the new man and to the new life that God is calling us to. And we talked about how confession without repentance is just an apology to God. You know, we never surrender our hearts, or we never surrender our will to his will. And when we do that, when our emotions and our convictions calm down after we've confessed, we just leave the same way that we came in, and nothing has really changed in our hearts. So we just revive the old man instead of letting him be crucified with Christ and allowing God to resurrect us through his Holy Spirit so that we can walk in a new life. You know, we read last week in Romans 6 and verse 4, that's what it's talking about, to be buried with Christ. You know, it's talking about baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And we talked about the only way to be truly freed from sin is to let the old man fully die. You know, in that same passage there in verse 7, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So if we don't allow our old man to completely die and be buried, then we're not freed from sin. We're still under the dominion of sin. But once we do let the old man die, then we can become that new creature, or, you know, that new man or woman in Christ that it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new, because we have let the old man pass away. You know, we said last week, if you came to the altar and confessed all your stuff and or whatever, but you're still living the same way you always have, then we haven't let the old man die. You know, I talked about how I did that for a long time, and there was no change in my life because I just kept reviving the old man. And as long as the old man is still alive and our old sin nature, it still has dominion over us. And we don't have the power to overcome it. But when we do fully surrender to Christ, we are under his dominion. We're no longer under the dominion of sin. We're under Christ's authority and his rule. And sin no longer has dominion over us. And we looked at that verse in Romans 6, 2, in verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Until we surrender to Christ, you know, our sin nature and sin itself has dominion over us. And we're not powerful enough to defeat sin on our own. But once we're under grace, and we've been forgiven by God, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're under his dominion, and he fights sin for us. You know, he protects us. And the thing that used to control you don't have that power over you anymore, or dominion over you like we're talking about, because you're dead to sin, like we just read in verse 7. And alive through Christ by being resurrected by the Holy Spirit. You know, I keep talking about repentance. I think most people believe that repentance and confession are the same thing. And I thought that for a long time. That's why I kept doing the same thing over and over and over and confessing the same sins over and over and over. But they're not the same thing at all. You know, confession is admitting that you have done something wrong. But repentance, that means coming before God and confessing that I realize I've sinned against you, and I'm making a choice right here to surrender control to you. So I won't do this anymore. You know, the word repentance in the Greek is called metanoia. And what it actually means is to change your mind. And all my life, I've heard preachers preach that repentance is to change direction. But what I've learned is, and looking at the definition and actually living through it myself, you know, you can go any direction you want to, but if you haven't changed your mind, if you haven't changed your heart, you'll wind up doing the same things there too. It don't matter which direction you're going. The only way you can truly repent is to change your mind and realize that what you're doing is wrong and choose not to do that anymore by the power of God. That's what repentance is. You know, Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, "Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." So, you know, when we do mess up and we do sin, if we're not truly repenting of it and we're just confessing it, then that's worldly sorrow. And that's where we get all the guilt and the shame, and, you know, that makes us feel horrible about ourselves. And that's what leads us a lot of times to confession, to just let off the pressure of the condemnation that we're feeling inside. But we never really repent. You know, it don't really change your heart to confess. Like I said a minute ago, once that emotion of that condemnation wears off, you go right back at it. But godly sorrow and repentance, like Paul is talking about there, that's brought on by godly sorrow, that leads you to God to be forgiven and not to be condemned. You know, we go to God with a completely different mindset. We don't go to him out of shame or guilt. We go to him out of a new understanding that I've messed up and I've sinned against you, and I want to make it right. You know, you're not going to God to be punished. You're going to God to be forgiven. It brings you to God with a renewed mindset. If I know my relationship with you is not right, and I want to make it right. And true repentance means that we change our minds about our relationship with God. And we, you know, when we get to that point, we're willing to do whatever it takes to make that right. And that leads us to salvation and giving God actual control of our lives and letting the Holy Spirit resurrect our spirit within us so that through his power, you know, sin don't have dominion over us. And we don't have to fight it ourselves and just continue to fail over and over and over. I want to go over all that again because it really goes along with what I'm talking about tonight. I know that was a long introduction, but if you didn't catch last week's message, you wouldn't have any clue what I was talking about. So what I want to talk about tonight is our life. God's been talking to me all week, and it's came up in a whole lot of conversations talking with other people too. Most people all over the world are just unhappy. You know, they feel unfulfilled, they feel slighted, they feel angry, and they feel like, you know, just life in general is not fair. You know, why is this happening to me? And it seems like the whole world is seeing everything around them and all the circumstances around them, all the things that they're going through as their life. They think, this is my life. And what God has been telling me all week is that's not your life. And it's not your life either. Those are things that are happening to you. And those are things that are happening around you here on earth. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes, "If you, then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." So verse 1 says, if we're risen with Christ, that's the resurrection that I keep talking about. Without that, you can't see your life. You know, all you can see are the things around you. You know, what you can touch, what you can feel, what you can taste. You know, we're simply living through our flesh and trying to find life through those things. We're trying to find happiness, and we're trying to find fulfillment that we just talked about in earthly things. You know, we work so hard to get more money so that we can get more stuff and all these things. We try to find fulfillment and happiness in those things that can't never give us any fulfillment. You know, we can get temporary happiness, but it don't last. You know, we can get temporary pleasure, but that don't last. And, you know, we look for happiness in our relationships. We want them to be perfect. And, you know, at some point, you know, somewhere along the line, we will fail each other. You know, we'll make each other mad. Or even if you don't, eventually we're going to grow old. You know, no matter what we put our faith in this world, it will eventually disappoint us. And that's why Paul said in verse 2 in Colossians to set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. This is a sad fact, but most people, you know, they don't believe in the second coming of Christ. You know, they're not anxiously awaiting Christ's return like we talked about a few months ago. And they don't believe in the kingdom of God. And most people don't believe in heaven. And they don't believe in hell either. And that's why they're so miserable. They're trying to find life in things that don't have any life. You know, verse 4 that we just read, it says that Christ himself is our life. And Paul said it well, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If you read a couple of verses before that, he's talking about, you know, if Christ wasn't resurrected from the dead, if, you know, if he wasn't a resurrected living Savior, and all we had to look forward to was what we can get in this life, then we would all be miserable because we don't have any hope. We get our hope from thinking that this is not the only life that we have to live. And if this life is all we have to look forward to, then we're all miserable. You know, I don't care where you live or who you are. You know, our time here on earth is going to be full of hard times. It's going to be full of disappointments. It's going to be full of pain. It's going to be full of loss. But that's not our life. You know, we can't see this alone as our life, or we'll never have hope. We'll never have a reason to rejoice and be glad. You know, I was thinking to myself earlier this week, if I was to take a Sharpie and just go somewhere in the world, somewhere on the earth, and just make one little dot somewhere, you know, it don't matter where. It could be under a rock at the bottom of the ocean or something, but just make one little dot somewhere. You know, compared to the whole world, that's how small our time here on earth is compared to eternal life. So, you know, that'd be like stretching a piece of fishing string from here to the moon and just putting one little dot on it somewhere. You'd never be able to find it. It's that insignificant is how long our life is here. You know, our true life is eternal. It'll last forever. You know, we're not born with that. We're not born with actual life. We're born alive in our flesh and in our souls. You know, we have our mind, we have our will, and we have our emotions. But our life, like we just read, is in Jesus Christ. And all over the planet, people are born with diseases. People are born without arms and legs. People are born blind. And, you know, throughout their existence here on earth, people go through all kinds of horrible things. They go through child abuse. They go through, you know, rape and murder and wars and, you know, famines and just all kinds of terrible things. You know, there's a never-ending list of that kind of stuff. But that's not our life. You know, that's a result of sin in the world. Those are circumstances that are brought on by sin. It's when we actually surrender our lives to Christ that we receive life. Then we can see beyond those things. You know, we don't have that closed mindset of life is only what we can see. Life is only what we go through here, you know, in our day-to-day things that we do. We can see beyond that. And we start seeing those things for what they truly are. They're temporary. They're temporary things. Things are not always going to be that way. Those are just things that the enemy tries to blind us with to keep us focused on so that we'll think that life is painful. We'll think that life is, you know, miserable. And we won't have any hope for how good life actually is. And he'll also trick us into blaming those things on God. It amazes me to hear how people, you know, a lot of people, not all people, but when bad things happen, you know, natural disasters and this and that, they blame all those things on God. And God's not doing that to anybody. You know, I hear people all the time say, how could a loving God allow this? He don't. You know, God gives every one of us to have life, to have a perfect life in eternity. You know, Jesus himself said, here in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He never told anybody, you're going to have a perfect life right here, right now, on this earth. Paul calls all of these things that we go through here on earth, light afflictions. We can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He's saying, you know, as long as you're here, you're going to have problems. But when you compare those problems with the eternal life that God has for us, you know, you might live 80 years here. You know, a lot of people die before their time. They might die when they're 20. But in an eternal scope of it, it really don't matter how long you live. Compared to eternity, really, those really are light afflictions. Some people live in torment their whole life and never have any joy here on earth. But the life that God has waiting for us is a perfect life. That's what Paul's saying, that these things here are temporary. All those things are just the enemy trying to blind us and to keep us mad at God and blaming him for all those things. He's trying to keep us from coming to him and receiving the eternal life that God has for us. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, that's what it says. He's talking about the enemy, it says, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So without Christ, Satan blinds us. You know, before I received Christ, he had me blinded. You know, I was thinking this is all the life there is. And he gets us to blame God for it. But when we surrender to Christ, it says here that his Holy Spirit shines to us and shows us this ain't our life. This is a temporary life. So we either wind up blaming God or we'll blame someone else and wind up arguing and fighting over things that truly don't matter in the light of eternity. You know, we've got people that spend their whole entire life, all they focus on is politics, and they never have any happiness. If all you ever focus on is politics, they're always arguing about something. You're never happy with anybody you talk to because nobody agrees on them, and they just argue their whole entire life about politics. And when Jesus Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, those politics aren't going to be there. So they argue and they fight their whole entire life over something that's not even going to be here anymore. And most of the arguments that we have with other people are over things that are not going to be in eternity. Most of the arguments, most of the things that we fight and wind up hating each other over are not even going to be part of our life. So we have to pay attention and to what is eternal and to what things are not eternal. And let those, you know, tell us what's important and what's not. There's some things we should stand up for and fight for, but there's a lot of things that really just don't matter in the light of eternity. So there is a better day coming, and our true life will be perfect. The life that God has for us is a perfect life. And we can't compare that with our existence here on this earth. You know, I said a minute ago that there's a lot of people born with sicknesses and disabilities, and they're suffering all over the world. But that's not our life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, in verse 10, that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, I am come that they may have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. So until we receive Jesus as our Savior, we don't even have life. You know, we're alive in our flesh and in our soul, like we talked about, but we don't have the life that God has for us yet. And, you know, the thief's only purpose, like it says there, is to steal, to kill, and destroy you. Anything good in your life, he's going to attack it. He's going to try to pervert it somehow to make it look like God has given you a life that's not good, and that's just not the truth. You know, all the people that are suffering now in this life, God will comfort them when they enter into life. You know, whether that's when Jesus comes back or if we die before he comes back. You know, when we enter into the life that God has for us, all the people that are disabled now are going to have perfect bodies when they enter into the life that God actually has for us. And all the things that are wrong here in this world, God's going to make right when we enter into the life that he has for us. I want to read you some things out of Isaiah. You know, I get a lot of hope out of these. I look at these a lot. In Isaiah 35, verses 3 through 6, it says, "With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. And the lame will leap like a deer. And those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland." You know, all the things that we look around and we see all the famines and stuff, and we see all the people that we feel so sorry for that are really hurting and suffering in this life. When God brings us into the life that he actually has for us, there ain't going to be none of that. You know, he's going to enter us into the life that he had for us before sin entered into the world. I want to read you these two out of Isaiah chapter 65, verses 19 through 25. It says, "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. No longer will babies die when they're only a few days old, and no longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. And no longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed will die that young. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains." You know, that's one of the biggest verses right there that I like. We'll have everybody so busy right now, focused on this world and all the million different things that we're focused on every day. Hardly anybody is enjoying their lives because they don't have time to enjoy it. They got so many activities going on, life so fast-paced, we just don't have time. But he says here, they'll have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. And they will not work in vain, and their children will not be doomed to misfortune. That's another thing I see, you know, people struggling with quite a bit is, you know, what their children are going through. I'm glad my daughter's already grown, because I see almost everybody that has children being brought up today is just a bad place to raise a child. But it won't be like that in the life God has for us. For they are people blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. And while they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. It says the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. Like I said a minute ago, there's a better day coming. We can't look to this world to find perfect life. We're never going to have it here. And we're only, you know, if we listen to that lie from the enemy, then we'll never be satisfied and we'll always be miserable. But if we read God's word, he never promises us a perfect life here. He says you're going to have trouble. You know, don't focus on this life. Focus on helping one another. Focus on loving one another and helping each other get through these problems, because they're going to come. We can either complain about them and be miserable about them, or we can, you know, take God's word for what it is. Find comfort in him and his promises, and then one another. You know, I'm not trying to belittle anybody's problems, and God's not either. You know, we can't just ignore our problems, because problems are real. You know, sickness is real. Disease is real. Divorce is real. All these other things that we've been talking about, they're very real, and they hurt, and they cause damage. But they're not from God, and they are not eternal. And, you know, we shouldn't make eternal choices because of those things. You know, I know for a lot of you, you know, for you, life right now is hard and it's painful. And it seems like it's going to be that way forever. I know a lot of people that are feeling like that right now. But life is not always going to be like that. And believe me when I tell you that, I know what you mean. You know, there have been a lot of points in my life that it seemed like there was no hope. Seemed like there was no future. There was no help. And there were times where it just seemed like it would never get any better. I remember, you know, one time when I had cancer. I had to go through all that radiation and the chemo. I had to go through all those surgeries and stuff. You know, I've had lots of surgeries, not just the ones I had when I had cancer. At 39, I had to have a total hip replacement because I wore my hip out when I used to do floor covering and stuff. I've been through divorce. I've lost friends that I thought I would have my whole life and just all of a sudden lose those friendships. I've had everything I own taken away from me a few times, not just once. You know, so I know what it's like to live in despair. And I know a lot of you do too. And at that time, I thought that was my life. And thought I had nothing to look forward to. I was miserable. I was hateful. And I didn't have any hope. But when I did surrender my life to Jesus, he showed me that that's not my life. And it's not yours either. Those are just things that we have to go through here on earth. And a lot of mine, I brought on myself because I didn't know God and I wasn't living for God. But when you surrender to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you and direct you, you can avoid a lot of those things. You know, you don't do the things you used to do. You no longer live in a way where you're bringing all those negative consequences on yourself. I mean, you're still going to have problems, but you don't have near as many following God as you do, you know, living in your old sin nature the way I did. You know, you're still going to have hard times and you're still going to have sickness, you know, whatever it might be, but you have God there to comfort you and you have God's people there to help you get through those times. You know, we talk all the time about the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the things that we need when we're going through those things. We need love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And we need all those things when life gets hard. And we need each other. We need to, like Phil keeps saying on the Wednesday nights, we're starting up those life groups. We need each other to get through those things and remind each other that we are children of God, and there is a better day coming. You know, it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. I want to read you those too. That's why God's word says don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. We really do need to be there for each other. And hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. You know, instead of going along with what's popular on social media or what's popular in the world, if it's wrong, we need to call it wrong and hate that stuff. And we need to hold on tightly to what is good and love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know, don't just come to church and just sit around and complain about the way things are going. It says to work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know, that there'd be a lot more people coming to Christ if the people of Christ didn't look so miserable all the time. You know, if they saw us rejoicing, if they saw us having a good time, if we could get through our day at work without complaining about it and be the light that God calls us to be. be the examples that we're supposed to be, that would draw people to Christ instead of looking just like the world. Then that would give them hope and lead them into a relationship with Jesus. It says, rejoice in our confident hope, which is Jesus Christ, and be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. You know, when we know somebody's in need, especially the people in our church family, we should be ready to help them. We should be able to, or ready to do, you know, whatever we can that we're able to do to help one another. Lift each other up, encourage one another, and always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. You know, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And when God blesses them, that'll lead them into a relationship with Him. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those that are weep. You know, life is hard. If somebody's having a happy time, rejoice with them. We should be happy with them. But if somebody's going through a hard time, go through it with them. It says to live in harmony with each other. And don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. You know, a lot of us get so hard and calloused because life is hard. We're closed-minded. We won't listen to ideas from anybody. We won't think about, you know, thinking any other way than we do. And that's what causes a lot of our arguments. That's what I was talking about a while ago. A lot of the things that we argue about are things that, in an eternal mindset, don't really matter at all. So we can't think we know it all. We got to be open-minded and get to know one another. And that's how we can get along with each other and grow those relationships that we need to grow. Life on earth is hard, but it's a whole lot easier if we do it together. You know, when you're down or you're having a bad day, I can lift you up and I can remind you that those things are temporary. It's not going to stay that way. It's going to get better. And when I'm down, you can do the same for me. You know, we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. I was going to have Travis see if he could find a picture of this guy to show you, but I didn't have time today. There's a preacher named Nick Vujicic. I think I said his last name right. Some of you might know who he is. You may have seen him on YouTube or something. But he was born without any arms or any legs. So he has no arms, no legs. You know, he could have spent his whole life mad at God for being born like that. But instead, you know, he thanks God for giving him life. He's alive. He has life, even though it's not the life that he would choose. He knows that one day his body will be made perfect. And he goes all over the world preaching and leading people to Christ. He already understands what we all need to understand. You know, his body is not perfect. And his circumstances here on earth are not the way he would have them. But, you know, they're not perfect. But the life that God gave him through Jesus Christ is perfect. God doesn't give some people good life or some people bad life. You know, John 3:16 says that God loves us all, you know, so much that whosoever believes in his Son and surrenders their life to him will have eternal life. They'll have perfect life. He never told anybody that they'd have that here, and you won't have that here. But the life that God has for you is perfect. It's just hard for us to remember that sometimes. We get caught up in worldly things, and especially when things just continue to go wrong and go wrong and go wrong. You know, I know one family right here in the church, they've had somebody just, I mean, deathly sick or dying for the last 2 years. It has not stopped the whole entire 2 years. They haven't got a break from it. And they're hanging on to their faith because they know it gets better. And to us, without looking at it the way God wants us to look at it, It seems like a lot of people were cheated out of life. You know, we see a lot of babies that die while they're babies. We see a lot of young people dying. But they're not getting cheated out of their life. You know, their life is still intact with God. Like we just read in Isaiah, just because they died here, they're going to live forever there. They're not missing out on life. When God creates a life, it's eternal. So all they've missed out on are the, you know, whatever experiences they would have had here on this earth. But the life that God has for them is eternal. It's still there. They're not missing out on it. But there are billions of people all over the world that will miss out on the life that God has for them because they, like we just talked about, they're letting the enemy blind them to the eternal life that God has for them, and all they're focused on is this life, and they're so miserable and mad at God that they won't accept Jesus Christ and receive the eternal life that God has for them. Their anger towards God and the unwillingness to surrender to Him is going to keep them from the life that God has for them. So there's billions of people like that all over the world. But the ones that we think got cheated out of life, they didn't get cheated out of life. God still has their life for them. But the billions of people that won't surrender to God and accept that life will miss out on it. You know, our existence here on this earth, this is just where we choose. You know, like I just said, there'll be billions of people that will miss out on life. But our existence here, this is just where we choose to accept the life that God has for us. So if that's you right now and life just seems hopeless and endless, you know, just remember, this is not your life. This is just your experience here on earth. And it is temporary. And your true life is hidden with Christ in God, like we just read a while ago in Colossians 3 and verse 3. I don't know if y'all remember or not, but a few months ago, we did the sermon on, you know, corruptible and incorruptible. We keep trading the corruptible things of the earth for the incorruptible life that God has for us. And that goes right along with this. So I want to share these verses again with you about the inheritance that God has for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, it says, if we surrender our lives to Christ, then we have, you know, we have this to look forward to, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, you know, while we're here, we're going to have trials. We're going to have our faith tested. We're going to have all kinds of problems. But we have to remember our inheritance in heaven. We've got to look forward to that, that one day everything will be made perfect. And we have to live our lives thinking about that. When things get hard, we need to remember they're temporary. It's not always going to be this way. Things will get better. Even here on earth, things will get better. And the things that we go through are just temporary. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a season for everything. There's a time to be happy, a time to dance, a time to cry. There's a time for all those things. So life's going to be up and down. But in the end, you know, we have a perfect life waiting on us. So we need to remember those verses and comfort ourselves with those verses, and comfort one another with those verses, and remind each other of those verses when life gets hard. And remember that all these things are temporary, and there is a better day coming. And like we read in Romans a while ago, go through those hard times together. Enjoy the good times together. You know, we can rejoice here. It might not last long, but we can rejoice while we have it. Be happy when you can, you know. Every day don't have to be hard. Every day don't have to be so serious. And every day don't have to be, you know, feeling miserable. When we have opportunities, we need to enjoy them. We need to embrace those good times instead of always focusing on what could be wrong or what might go wrong tomorrow. You know, if today went good, rejoice in today and be thankful for it. And, you know, just be glad the life we're living today don't last forever. You know, I thank God all the time that it's not going to be like this forever. But one day we will have a perfect life. You know, that's why I wanted to go into a little bit of depth, explaining last week's message to start with, you know, on being resurrected, you know, fully surrendering our life to Christ and letting Him resurrect us through His Holy Spirit. Because none of that stuff is possible without surrendering to Christ. And, you know, Jesus Himself said, unless you're born again and receive the Holy Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You know, and if we die without surrendering to Christ and receiving His Holy Spirit, if we think life is bad here on earth, it's going to get way worse for those, like those billions of people that we just talked about that are going to miss life altogether. And I feel so sorry for those people. You know, they're going to be miserable the whole time they're here on earth. And if they die without Christ, then they're going to be even more miserable for eternity. So I pray that everybody here and everybody watching has surrendered to Christ and that you are saved. But if you're not, if you don't see that change in your life or remember the day that your life turned around and things were drastically changed, I pray that you would take a good look at yourself today and be honest with yourself. And if you're not surrendered to Christ, I pray that you would surrender to Him so you'll have that incorruptible inheritance, that perfect life to look forward to, and you won't get so, you know, things don't seem so bad when you know it's temporary and you got something to look forward to. So if you're not sure that you belong to Christ, you know, that you don't have to wait. You can surrender to Him today and have that assurance that you do have that inheritance waiting on you. And He will give you the strength to make it through this life a lot better too. You know, I believe everybody here is saved. And my hope and prayer is that you are. But we need to just remember that we will have hard times here. But one day that'll all be made perfect. God promises that. And, you know, I heard a preacher last week. He said every prophecy about Christ in the Old Testament has came true. Every single one of them. There's not one that didn't come true. So why do we doubt the prophecies that are in there about us? You know, about our life to come. Those are going to come true too. You know, the ones about Christ returning. The ones about the perfect life, the incorruptible inheritance that God has for us. You know, if we know for a fact that all those prophecies have already came to pass. They've already proved themselves true. So why can't we believe that all the rest of them are true too and live like they're true? And, you know, trust God that they're true and live like that. And that way we won't be discouraged and we won't be miserable anymore. We'll be looking forward to the new life that we have, and we can experience a part of that life right here on this earth before it even gets here, because we can have joy knowing that we have that life coming to us. But that's all I've got this week. I hope that really helps somebody, because I know there's tons of people going through a hard time right now. And I pray that that gives you hope and gives you a different perspective to see things in a positive way instead of a negative way all the time. But I thank y'all again for coming out. And I do encourage you to be here next Wednesday when we do have that meeting on the life groups. I'm looking forward to getting those going so we can get to know each other better and build that community that we've been talking about to help each other when we're having a hard time and grow in Christ together. But that's all I've got this week. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you again for the message that you've laid on my heart. I thank you for helping me to get up here and preach it, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to take it to heart and to remember it, God, and actually meditate on it and think about it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to start just thinking about our new life that's coming and not focus so much on the bad things that are going on in this world, not focusing on all the bad things that are going on in our lives, Lord, but help us to focus on you and the plan that you have for us. And I pray that that would give us the hope, Lord, and the courage that we need every day to face this life. And Father, I just thank you for loving us so much that you made it free for anybody on the planet, God, that calls upon the name of Jesus, that can receive that life. I thank you that you love us that much, that we don't have to earn it, that is a free gift from you. And I just pray, Lord, that more people would believe that and more people would surrender to you so they could experience that. Father, we love you and we thank you and we just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.